Well, good morning. My name's Neil, and we've had the blessing, Sharon and myself, of being able to be congregational members here for just almost a year now. It must be almost a year celebration today. And it's a real blessing to be a part of this church and this congregation, and to be ministered from week to week. And unfortunately, our role takes us away a little bit, but the times we're here, we're just so thankful for God for what he's doing in this place and through this place. I don't know about you, but I've spent the last couple of weeks sort of looking at my calendar and starting to work on that a little bit with work. But also this year, actually on Tuesday, is our wedding anniversary for Sharon and myself. We're going to be celebrating 30 years of marriage. So that's great. We're really excited about that. And so we've sort of been trying to think of what to do. And of course, I'm trying to get the, you know, do I go for dinner, the flowers? We'll of course do that. But we wanted to make it a bit more significant this year. And we're trying to sort of plan a few things. Nothing was coming together. So the idea came, I don't know if it was me or my or Sharon, I'm not sure. I'll claim it. But we said, well, how about this year, because of 30 years, we do 30 things, significant things through the year. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do 30 significant things through the year. Of course, starting on Tuesday on our wedding anniversary, we'll do we'll sort of do a few things that day, but we're planning the whole year. And so we've been sitting down thinking of 30 things we can do. Now, sometimes that list has got a bit wild, a bit out of hand, but we're trying to think of some significant things. And so I think we're up to about 16 or 17. So if you've got any ideas, please share with us after the service, and we might be able to continue the list. But planning, of course, is good and it's important, and I guess many of us do that. But, you know, Sharon actually asked a really good question before when she was doing the interview testimony. And she said, well, what about your plans for God this year? What about your plans with God this year? What are your thoughts around that? And it's a question, I don't know about you, but I probably haven't really taken the time to think about as much as I should have. And it leads into what we're thinking about today. And it's true to say that we've got this year ahead of us, and none of us really know what's going to happen. None of us can determine what is going to happen this year. However, we can determine how we're going to live this year. And that's a really important point. And the text that we've chosen today is from Ephesians. And Sharon read it to us. And I love the Word of God because it gives so much practical teaching. You know, as we read through that passage of Scripture that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, you know, it's as if he could easily just be standing here today writing to us. Because they're so practical words. It's really where life is for us and the things that challenge us from day to day. But I want us to look at particularly the last three verses that Sharon read, and there are three truths there I want us to take away. And the verse says, be careful, be very careful then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So I want us to reflect on three questions or three statements. The first one is the first one is be careful then how you live. Now, I don't know about you, but I am very careful about some things. I'm very careful when it comes to, they would tell you in the old days, about putting up the Christmas tree. And I'm one that much I know, and I've had to confess this and ask for forgiveness, but I really wouldn't allow the children to touch much of the Christmas tree because I had to be careful where everything went on it. So I would give a child, one of my children, the ornament, and I would tell them where to place it, bit to the left, bit to the right, bit up or down. I was really careful about that. I'm also one of these people really careful about how I mow the lawn. There's not many people who can mow our lawn because there's a certain way to mow it. And there's a certain pattern that you need to follow. Now, men, you and women, don't let me just limit with men here. I'm sure you'll hear it. There's a way that sometimes you need to mow the lawn. And I was thinking about having the volunteer to sort of mow the lawn here. I'd love to do that. other people would probably mow the lawn too, and they may go a different way than what I would go. So I'd have to talk to you about that. But maybe we could draw up a plan or something like that of how that happens. So we, you know, we're careful in many things, but the word here, what Paul is really saying to you, be careful how you live. Really think about it, and I want us to really focus as we start in this in another year, in the beginning of 2017. Be careful how you live. And of course, he's not really talking about those things that are insignificant, but he's talking about how we think, how our actions are and our reactions. Be careful how you think. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what comes into your heart and what comes into your mind, what you look at. Be careful what you say. Be careful about your reactions. And we can see much of this as we look at those preceding verses, through 1 through to 15. Be careful about these things, about who you hang around with, who you associate with. Be careful how you live. But the main context in which Paul was writing these words was in the context of time. In another version, it picks this up a little bit more. Let me read that to you. In the English Standard Version, it puts it this way: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most use of the time. In another version, you might remember that it talks about redeeming the time. And Paul, he's really here talking about the importance of what we do with our time. Now, there's a clip that I want us to watch, and it talks about some of the things that we can do with our time. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, I heard some of the rumours, or sort of the murmurs there, about getting dressed, and I'm sure that some don't take 27 minutes a day to get dressed, where others could. So I'm not sure about what happens in your home. But now, all these things are important things to do, and things that we need to do. But Paul does challenge us here and ask us to think about, be careful how you live in relation to your time. One of the other stats that I read about in preparing this message is that if a person went to church from when they were born to when they were 75 years old, every day, every Sunday, and spent an hour at church every Sunday for their whole life, it'd be equivalent of spending 5.5 months of your life in church. And we're not really saying today here, well, okay, we've got to spend 2 hours in church, or it's about that. But it's about taking time and taking stock of what we do, being careful how we live and being careful with our time and seeing it in relation to eternity. And that's also the context in which Paul is writing here, to think about life in relation, our time, in relation to the eternity that God has given to us and the life that God has given to us. Be careful how you live. The second thing that Paul encourages us to do is to make most of every opportunity. He talks about because the days are evil. And it's not in that sense that sometimes that can be taken out of context, where there's too much, given to evil these days, in the sense that sort of it's everywhere, but we've got to believe that God is in control, and we've got to believe that God is in the universe. But in that sense, we also need to believe that there is evil in the world, but we're just on the winning side. And we need to make the most of every opportunity. And again, Paul was not talking about here, well, we've got to make sure that we get our investments right. We've got to make sure that we make the best opportunity if something comes across, in a sense, in a business-wise, or something comes up. But make the most of every opportunity in our life to give glory to God, to tell others about God. Now, if there's a great opportunity that we have coming up here, an opportunity that God gives to us, to invite a friend, to tell someone about the love of Jesus. Make the most of every opportunity in regard to our church life. And it's so important that we don't disregard that. The service that we can give, and the opportunity to just to come along and to meet one another with one another and to worship together. So important that we make the most of every opportunity. The final thing that Paul says here is to understand what the Lord's will is. Now, I don't know about you, but that's sometimes been, especially when I was younger, a very difficult thing to really know how to understand. But what truly is God's will? What is God's will for my life? And particularly as we think about, for some, it might be, well, what does God want me to do in relation to my work or in relation to relationships or what decisions I need to make? And sometimes it can be confusing for some to, am I really doing what God wants me to do? Is this the Lord's will for my life? How do I really understand the will of God for me? I believe that as Christians, it's in our desire to be in tune with what God is wanting for us. It's having that desire to live according to what he wants us to live and to be living carefully for him. And I believe that as we really seek to be in the centre of God's will, and if it's our heart's desire to say, Lord, I really want to be where you want me to be. I really want to do the things that you want me to do. Or if a decision comes my way, and what do I need to do? It's about a job or about my move. What do I do, Lord? It's in seeking him really in an intense way and allowing his voice to speak to you and then trusting what he says to you. Now, it's good to have that tested by others, certainly good to have it revealed in the Word and to seek God through the Word and to allow him to speak to you through that. But God does speak to us, and we can understand what his will is for our life. And it's a growth. It's about awaiting upon him. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And so I asked the question that Sharon asked in the middle of the meeting. What is 2017 in relation to your relationship with God? What have you thought about, and what's your intention, what's your desire? I'm going to ask that the worship team would come up this morning, and just we're going to take a few moments to reflect on that. And I have this beautiful opportunity just to think about that and to wait upon him. And I'm not sure about you, but God might have spoken to you about a whole different thing today. Maybe it's through the testimony or something's been on your heart. And you're just really seeking God at this time. And the opportunity is always given here, and I love it because it's such a free space and such a safe space to be able to come and pray. And if that would be helpful for you today, then I would encourage you to do that, to come and pray. Maybe there is a decision in your life that you're not really knowing what to do about it. You really don't know what God's will is for your life. And having someone pray with you or just bringing it before the Lord will help you. And I encourage you to do that today. To bring it to the altar, as the song says. It's just a space. We'll be gone soon, back into the busyness of our day or to the rest of our day. But this is a special time, I believe, where God can speak to us. So recommit yourself again and have that prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, help me to be careful how I live this year. Lord, help me to make the most of every opportunity that you give to me. And help me to understand what your will is for my life. Let me pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we do thank you so much because you're a gracious God. Because you're God, as we've been reminded this morning, who's full of majesty. Who loves us, who sees our worth, who sees our significance. We want to thank you that for each of us, you do have a plan. You have this perfect plan that you want us to live within. Lord, we pray this morning that even in this moment of time, this small moment of time, that we will listen to what your voice says to us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to worship you. Help us to wait upon you. Help us to commit ourselves again to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.